we dive in, would you want to pray for us? Because, I mean, we did it last time, then we had to stop again, but I would love if we could start like that for today as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for Karina and this podcast that you've allowed her to start and the people you're allowing her to reach. And we just ask that you'd be with our conversation today and our words, and let it all be pleasing and glorifying to you, Lord. Just really just get us out of the way, God, and let whatever you want to be said, and just set a watch in our mouths, Lord, and help our thoughts to flow well and the conversation to go where you'd have it to go. And just bless our time together and let the technology all work how it's supposed to. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Beautiful. That sets us up for the perfect start. Amazing. Amazing. Hey, you. I'm so excited to share today's Mood Lab episode with you. I am so privileged to have all those conversations and to share them with you on here on this platform, and I just feel so blessed that you're listening, that you are ready for this beautiful input that is given here every single week. And honestly, I just wanted to say as well, I feel like, you know, every single guest is just so wonderful, so unique. Everyone has their own point of view, and what connects, obviously, all of them, especially the last couple of episodes, is that there is Christ at the center. There's scripture in the background and scripture that is guiding us, which is just so beautiful and so valuable. So, so good, really. I'm so excited that we have been on this journey together, and I feel so blessed, really, that I got to meet Christ and that I'm on this journey with Christ as we speak, and that this is the direction that my life has taken and that I got to know him. I'm just, yeah, I have no words for this, honestly. I have no words. So I had the pleasure to talk to Madison Hearn. She is the founder of Dear Single Woman, a ministry that encourages Christian single women to find their fulfillment in Christ alone and serve him with their whole hearts. And oh my, doesn't that concern us all so much? I mean, even if you're a guy listening, you don't have to switch off. It also concerns you. It concerns us all, especially when we are in our single season. And even if you're married, honestly, stay tuned as well, because we also talk about how a lot of things that we're struggling with while we're on single season and that we're kind of praying for, hoping for, and wishing that they would be different, that similar aspects can also then flow into our marriage, and that we literally have to be rooted in Christ to be anchored and to live a good life that is full of serving others, full of living out our gifts, and yeah, living a life that puts us into the position that we become more Christ-like, that we try to be more like Christ. And that is just so, so, so beautiful. So I don't want to even talk too much about what we're getting into, but just to give you a little overview, we are talking about Madison's journey from singleness into marriage. We talk about why marriage is not necessarily better than singleness, or is it? And we talk about embracing singleness centered in God and biblical truth. We have a chat about praying for our future husband. Should we do that? Shouldn't we? And why? And then we talk about the gift of singleness. And at the very end, we dive into dating from a Christian point of view and how we can kind of navigate that without being too much on the search. Because I do feel like if we're too much searching and like trying to find that person the whole time and we only focus on that, that tends to get a bit harmful to us. So we talk about all of that. We dive into all of the details on those subjects. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful conversation. I feel like Madison is just such a wonderful person. She has such a good heart. So I think you will adore this conversation as much as I did adore the conversation while I was having it, and also now listening back on it while I was editing. I'm just so happy that I can share this with you. So much goodness in here. And before we dive right in, I just wanted to let you know, obviously, if you like the podcast, please subscribe, share it with your friends. And also, if you really like the podcast, really, really like it, please leave 5 stars to, yeah, just give the podcast a rating, and it will help so much. You cannot even believe it. So I would be forever grateful if you can do that, if you haven't done it yet. And without further ado, really, let's just dive right in and Madison will introduce herself. Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to you today. And to just get right in, I would love if you could introduce yourself. I mean, I think I haven't even mentioned your name. So today I'm talking with Madison here on the Mood Lab, and I'm so excited for that. And yeah, maybe you can just introduce yourself a little bit, what you do, who you are, all that. And then we can go deep into everything that we are here to talk about today.
Sure. Well, Karina, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. And you're so sweet. It's been so fun just getting to know you from like the beginning of our call last time we tried this and today. But yeah, a little bit about me. So my name's Madison, and I have a ministry blog, Instagram platform for Christian single women, just encouraging them to find their fulfillment and satisfaction in Christ alone. I'm also a nutritional therapist. That's what I do for work, and work with clients one-on-one through like Zoom calls. And so I work from home and I really enjoy that. And I did recently just get married. But before that, I had a long journey with singleness. So it's a big passion of mine for sure.
Yeah. And you've got a single lady in front of you. So so you can share all the goodness. And I mean, I'm very interested, and everyone listening as well. I was sharing with some girls. So we do these dinners from church, like every couple of weeks, we have like a series of dinners. And it's basically our sort of get together that we have during the week, kind of like a small group, but not. So it's just our chosen way of doing things. And I was at a dinner on Wednesday, and I was sharing with some girls that we are going to have this conversation. And everyone was like, oh, when is this going to be out? I wanna listen to this. And it's concerning me. And yeah, it's something that I'm thinking about. So I think it's very timely. And I'm already excited to put this out for everyone listening, and also to the ones that I kind of know. That that's always so sweet to have faces to my listeners. It just always gets me so excited. Yeah. So I think before we dive into singleness and single season and all the things that concerning that, I would just love to hear a bit about your personal experience with it, and and then your journey to marriage. Maybe I think I would just love to hear it a bit, just so we can get a better idea of where you've been and where you've been going. And
So my story from like singleness to marriage. I grew up in a Christian home, which is a huge blessing, but I somehow, I don't think I was ever like explicitly taught this, but I sort of caught it growing up just through different things I heard, and just having like a strong desire to get married and be a mother. I really had this idea that my purpose as a Christian woman was to get married and have kids and be a homemaker. And like, that was the reason why God created me and God created women. Like, it was their highest calling, highest purpose, right? And so when it wasn't happening for me for a long time, I almost had like this identity crisis sort of feeling of like, well, God, you created me for this and you're not bringing it to pass. Like, what am I supposed to do with this period of time? What are you doing? You know, just was very confused. And really, marriage and children had become like an idol to me in my heart. And God had to take me through a really difficult trial, a broken engagement situation, to show me I had these idols in my heart, and to show me that my purpose was not to get married and have kids, but my purpose is to know the Lord and to make him known, to glorify him with my life, whether that be through getting married and raising children or not, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really the journey that he had to take me on. And there's a lot of things within that he had to teach me. But I started just studying the Bible to learn what God's heart is for the single woman and what our job is, right? Because I knew that, like, once you get married, your job description in scripture is to be the helpmeet, you know, be submissive to your husband, be like a keeper at home. Like, I really knew the married woman's job really well, but I did not know what I was supposed to be doing as a single woman. So I started just really studying scripture to understand that. And through that process of learning, he brought me to a place where I just fell in love with the gift of singleness, really because I fell more in love with Jesus, right? And I finally found in him the satisfaction that I had been looking for in a man and in the role of, like, wife and mother. And so that's where he brought me, praise the Lord. And I was able to live just a really fruitful, joyful single life until he did end up changing the gift and I ended up getting married. But the lessons that I learned as a single woman, I'm still using and even having to relearn in marriage. So it's been a blessing. But
I mean, that's so beautiful because, I mean, there are so many things already that we are going to touch up on that you just shared, which I love. And I feel like what you said with having to learn that basically, I guess the only one who can satisfy is Jesus. So learning to build our relationship with him and having him as our first love is so important. And that's been, like, one of the biggest learnings for myself as well and just of the biggest importance because, yeah, we can easily put someone else on that pedestal and, like, make someone be the person that we are looking up to in a way that can easily get super unhealthy and get us into that attachment to that person that is just not supposed to be there in that way. And so I think that is something so important that we need to learn. And you also kind of already touched upon that you're continuing to learn, obviously, even in marriage, because then we figure out at some point the things that I was, like, having, let's say, those desires for while I was single, they might still be there when I have my person, actually. So, because, like, another human being isn't really supposed to, like, satisfy all our needs, right? And so I think that there's so much goodness in that and that, yeah, just something so important to talk about. I would love if we could, yeah, just go a bit into how do we embrace singleness in, like, a, well, centered in God and in a biblical sense as well. So what are the things that, and you touched upon a couple of things already, but how can we frame it for ourselves? What are the things that in single season that we should, let's say, go after instead of, like, running after finding our men? Because I don't think that's, yeah, I don't think that works, actually. I feel like it's just setting us up for failure, honestly. So yeah, I would just love to hear your thoughts and what you've learned in that season that you think more of us, especially of us single women, should know about and might help us on our journey.
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, for me, it started with having to rethink or completely change how I thought about singleness, right? Like, even just that word, I don't know, it used to bring up for me feelings of, like, oh, it's not as good as marriage, or almost like, oh, it's a bad place to be and you just have to, like, suffer through it until you can find a person and get married, right? Like, it's this hard, less than sort of state. And what I had to realize was the Bible does not describe it that way. And so even if I feel like it's not as good as the thing that I want, right, my feelings can't be what I rely on and what I trust in and what I allow to define singleness for me. I need to let the Bible and God define it for me, because if I renew my mind with that truth, it's going to change my heart towards that state and towards that gift, right? And so 1 Corinthians 7, I recommend studying and meditating on that for yourself as an individual and just letting the Lord speak to you what that passage is saying. But basically, God calls it in that passage a good gift. Both singleness and marriage are good gifts, right? And so I had to stop thinking about it as something that I just had to, like, get through until I could find someone. you know, or stop thinking of it as less than and like not as good or not as blessed. And once I shifted that in my mind, it was like, okay, God's given me a good thing. What can I do with it? What are the blessings that I have with this? And how can I just live it to the max, right? And just make the absolute most of it. And I learned in 1 Corinthians 7 as well, that part of the blessing of singleness is that we get to have an undistracted walk with the Lord that the married person does not get to enjoy.
Yeah.
Says we're able as singles to attend upon the Lord without distraction. And we can just care about the things that the Lord cares about. We can care about pleasing him, whereas the married person has to care about pleasing her husband and, you know, the distractions that come with serving a husband and children and all of these things. And it's a good thing, a good distraction, right? But it's different. And so we have just this really special blessing of getting to be just us and the Lord, totally focused on him. All of our free time can go towards him. And if we'll press into that and we'll actually take advantage of that, that's when we'll find the joy in singleness and we'll start to love it and start to see what a gift it is.
What are your thoughts on, and I think, I don't know if I read something from you on that, but what I often hear women do and what is often something that I hear also when people talk in podcasts and everything, everyone is always like, well, not everyone, but a couple of people are like, well, I desire a husband and so I will for sure get one, you know? And yeah, we can easily, and I think that's also something that I learned in my personal prayer. At first I was praying to be prepared and then to that I desire my husband and that I hope for him to enter my life. But I had to kind of rephrase that because I started praying and praying more on the Holy Spirit and God giving me the Holy Spirit so that I can understand his will better and that I'm also able to live in his will. And that then brought me to the fact as soon as I wanted to do this prayer part that I always did, I was like, oh, this doesn't really feel right anymore, because like it's not like, what if it's not his will? Like, and what if I don't know? So I feel like on the one hand, I do believe that God is so good that when we desire certain things, that they've been most likely been placed within us for a good reason. But it could still be that he has different plans for us. And then I feel like there needs to be a certain shift. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, because I think we can get a little distracted and a little caught up and hung up on this desire to like really call our husband in and like getting, I think there is a beauty in preparing ourselves, but it can also really get ourselves into this space where we feel almost like, okay, I'm so like good now, I need to like, it needs to happen at some point, right? So I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I'm just sharing my thought process with you, basically.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I have like wrestled with all of the same questions and the same things in prayer, just like you said, of well, I don't know if this is the Lord's will, so why am I praying like as if this is definitely his will, right? It like doesn't feel right anymore. Yeah, that was another thing that I had to come to in realizing that singleness is good and it's equal in God's eyes to marriage. It was like, okay, well then it makes sense that maybe God's good plan for my life is not to get married, right? And I couldn't find anywhere in scripture where God promised marriage to me. Some people claim that if the desire is there, you know, then God will for sure give it to you. I think that's kind of a small view, because first of all, I think it's just a natural wired desire in all of us, because initially God created Adam and Eve, right? And the perfect design was that everyone would be married, right? Everyone would have that. But now we live in a fallen world. We humans mess that up. And God is so good that he redeemed that, right? Singleness didn't maybe used to be a good thing. In fact, I think it used to be more of like viewed as a curse, right? If you couldn't get married and have kids, we see that in the Old Testament. But then we see that it shifts in the New Testament when Jesus dies, and he even makes singleness good, right? Even though it wasn't what he maybe initially perfectly designed, he redeemed it and he gave it a good gift and a good meaning and a good purpose. And so realizing that, I had to recognize, okay, God's good gift for me might not be marriage. And I had to come to a place of surrender where it was like, am I willing, if that's what the Lord wants to use to glorify himself in my life, to draw me closer to him? He knows what I need in order to be fulfilled. He knows what's best for me. He knows what will give me the most joy in the end. And so if that's singleness, am I willing to surrender that dream of mine and to say yes to what he might have for me? And that moment of surrender is when really everything changes, because you just put it all in the Lord's hands. Yeah. And you say, whatever you want for me is best, and that's what I want, right? And so my prayer shifted from, God, like, help my future husband, you know, be a good man today or whatever, to, God, I don't know if you have a future husband for me. You know that that's the desire of my heart, but I know that what you want for me is way better than what I want for me. And I want your best, whatever that is, literally whatever that is. And for me, that was like thinking through, like, okay, even if you bring me a husband and a few years later, I'm a young widow, if that's your best for me, that's what I want. You know, like, I want to be close to the Lord. So whatever state he needs to have me in for me to be close to him and have, you know, feeling his presence and most glorifying him, that is truly what I want. And, you know, we talked earlier about how I'm still having to relearn these lessons in marriage. And that's really so true. I had to learn in singleness to surrender that desire for marriage. Now I'm having to learn to surrender a lot of different things. But one of those being, if the Lord were to take my husband from me, am I willing that he would do that? Would I still praise him? Would I still love him? And that's something that I've had to wrestle with and keep coming to and saying, yes, Lord, even if you take my husband, even if this, I will still love you. I will still praise you, you know? And so the surrender never stops. I think God's always asking us, what are you willing to give up for me that you might have a sweet, close relationship with me? And so now I feel like I went down a little rabbit trail on that from what you initially asked, but yeah. And that did change also my mindset towards preparation. You mentioned, like, well, we're trying to like prepare and become like good enough to be like wives, you know, and almost like trying to become spiritual enough for God to like bless us with that. And we know that's not how God works, right? He's not like this vending machine that we just put in our work and our like, ooh, trying to become content and then he'll give us this. Like, that's not what God's about at all, right? He's about the ultimate sanctification process of like bringing us closer to him. But I did realize, okay, I need to be preparing not just to be a good like wife and mom someday, because maybe that's what he has for me, but I need to be preparing also to be a good godly single woman with a fruitful life, if that's what he has for me, right? And I also realized a lot of these like skills that we try to learn to become like good wife material or whatever, we can use those anywhere in the body of Christ, right? Like, we can use those feminine skills of like baking sourdough or like changing diapers or whatever it is. That does not just have to be used as a wife and mom. Yeah. That's a feminine skill I can use to help my friend who's married, or I can help, you know, this person that I'm trying to reach with the gospel. Like, we have to shift, I think, how we think of these skills as like, God can use these anywhere, not just, you know,
that's true,
as wife status.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the end, we always, I think you also said, okay, what parts of our lives can we prepare, because they're serving, well, they could serve several reasons, right? They can serve our life and they can bear beautiful fruit. And that is things like building our community, right? That is so important, and that will be important no matter if we have a husband at one point or if we don't. And so things like baking and cooking. I mean, yeah, we can have great food and bless our community with that as well. So all of that is already, it's just beautiful to embrace that for ourselves as well. Like, it doesn't even have to have an ulterior motive in that moment while we are embracing it and while we are doing those things. And I think that is so beautiful and so important. And I also just want to go back to something that you said a bit earlier, and that's that thing of, okay, it could even happen that while I'm in marriage that I lose my husband, for example. At first, it was that anxiety around maybe I will never have one. And then it shifts. Okay, I could lose my husband. And I think what just came up for me as well is, I mean, this is not only happening in the field of marriage, right? This is with everything in life. There are so many things that we can create anxiety around that we can be anxious about and scared about. And I mean, the Lord constantly calls us to, just put aside that anxiety, that we are safe in Him. And that is such a practice that we have to, or that we are allowed to and can embrace to really give all that up to Him. And that is, I think that is so important, because we can so easily fall into that, oh yeah, now everything is good. Now I got where I wanted to go, but life isn't working that way. And I think that is actually something that I found so fascinating in the New Age space that I was in before, that everyone is trying to create that perfect life. Like everything is good. Everything is like rainbow and butterflies and incredible, and you're manifesting your dream life, and then you're living on your high. And as soon as you're hit by something, you have nothing that holds you. You're basically back at point zero. You are trying to like scramble your way out of that. And you're like, nothing is holding me. Like, what am I doing? Like, everyone tells me everything that you need, you have inside of you. You're like, you're fine. And it just doesn't work that way. And I think what I love so much about having this beautiful faith is that no matter where we are at, we can go back to that, and we have someone to rely upon, to fall back onto, to have that personal relationship with. And I think that is so special. And so even while we're talking about, being in singleness or being in a relationship, no matter where we are on that spectrum, basically, we always, I think the thing that is the most important for us to foster is our relationship with God, to have that as our foundation. And so I think everything that you said is so good, so beautiful, because, just so important that we have our sight and our eyes on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's so interesting what you said about the New Age thing, like you're, you know, pursuing your dreams and what you want and like you, and that's supposed to bring you the fulfillment and the joy and whatever.
Yeah.
But with a relationship with Christ, it's almost the exact opposite. It's like the more that we surrender and lay at His feet and leave up to Him, the more joy that we find, right? Because He is the joy, not the fulfillment of the dream, not getting the dream job, not the trip, not the man, nothing. It's all empty without Him. But on the flip side, it's like when you have the Lord in you, then when you experience those fun things, then when some of those dreams do come true, then when you are in a beautiful place on a beautiful trip, you enjoy it so much more because you know that this is a gift from God, and you see His artwork in it and His love for you in it. And it's so much more fulfilling the closer you are to the Lord, right? And that's another thing that I've just been learning in marriage, is like the my marriage is only as fulfilling and fun and good as I am close to God. And it was the same exact thing with singleness. Singleness is only as good and blessed and joyful as I am close to God. And it just never changes in every season of life, right?
No, that's so good, because like, who are we to say this is what is going to happen? And I mean, we talked about this the whole time, but it really translates to every area of our lives. Even what we said already in the past couple of minutes about, well, wanting to have that husband, basically, it's the same with wanting to have a certain job or wanting to have a certain career or a certain success or whatever. All of those things is like, well, maybe you're currently wrong in what you want to have. Maybe it's not that. And maybe He has something better for you, something that He has for you that He has already in His plan, that He wants you to be in and to step into. And what I found so beautiful on my journey in the past couple of months is that, and from the perspective of the New Age space, it's like, oh, wait, I can't decide everything. But then when you get closer to God, it's like, this is the biggest relief that has ever happened to me, because finally, I don't have to fight so hard to achieve something that's not for me, that is not even achievable. So I'm running after things that are not even for me. And it's such a blessing to just be there, go about our days, put in our work, and know that He uses whatever we are doing to put us into the right direction. That is so, such a relief, honestly. It's such a relief. So
Yeah.
And that obviously fully applies to singleness and marriage as well. It fully applies there as well. Yeah.
So I think. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Yeah, I like to think of like trusting the Lord with your future and your dreams and those things. Like if you look at a bed, right?
Yeah.
Like you can believe that the bed will hold you up if you lay on it, but until you actually like climb up on it and you lay down and you just relax everything and let it hold you up, you're not actually trusting in it. You're not actually putting your trust in it, right? And you're not actually able to rest in that. And I think it's the same with the Lord. It can be so scary, especially at first, to hand Him this thing that is like so precious to us, right? This dream of marriage or whatever, knowing if I turn this over, it might not happen. But if we can believe that God loves us and He wants what's best for us and He wants to give us what is good, then if we can trust Him in that, it's like we got to crawl up in the bed and we have to believe Him and trust Him and just rest in that. And that's when the peace comes from that, right? But it can be, I understand it can be really hard to get to that place where you're like crawling up on the bed and just like laying down and leaving it all in His hands.
But also it can be the most blessed and beautiful thing as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would love to head a bit into Christian dating from your standpoint, what your thoughts are on it. I feel like, especially because I feel like I'm still so new to this, obviously. I just find it so interesting because, I mean, there are so many things that the world does in terms of, okay, trying to find your person. And then there's all these platforms that one can go on to. There's like the whole search that's going on. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. I mean, to some extent or to what extent are we putting ourselves out there?
Yeah.
When are we in that stage where we're like, okay, we can kind of be a bit more open maybe, or do we literally just, I don't know, involve ourselves into the things that light us up and go from there? I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Such a good question. And, you know, I think it is different probably for each person, depending on where they are, like in their walk with the Lord, because we know that God gives us a free will to do the things that are like clearly okay within scripture, right? So if it's not a bad thing, we're probably free to pursue that. And marriage is not a bad thing. It's, you know, it's a good thing. And God says that marriage is honorable among all, right? It's an honorable thing to pursue. So we know that it's not wrong for us to take steps to pursue that. But I think where we can go wrong is if we do it with maybe the wrong motives, if we're, you know, idolizing it, or if we're looking to marriage to fulfill us or to like give us that feeling of worth and, you know, just make up our identity when we should be finding that in Christ. So I think motive plays a big part. And then also just in your personal walk with the Lord, I think that we know when He's asking us to maybe not do something for a season, or go ahead and do something for a season. And sometimes God doesn't say anything and it's just up to you. It's your free will to pursue that or not. But it's something that we all have to be like in prayer about, I think, like asking the Lord, what do you want me to do, you know, in this season? So I have a little,
I just need to add this. I have a little story to that. I mean, it's just been funny. I feel like, so I was sitting at a table at my friend's place, and because I was staying with her for a couple of weeks until I could move into my new apartment. And I was sitting there and this other girl comes in who I only briefly knew, but she's also living there. And she comes in there. She tells us something about some sort of dating app that I've never heard about. And she tells us that she has like 3 dates upcoming. So she's not a believer and she's like in the dating field, like very much into it right now. And she shares that. And then we are like, oh, that sounds fun. That sounds cool. And just like happy for you that you're doing this. And then she was kind of like, yeah, you should try it as well. And I just literally wholeheartedly with that, like not even thinking, I just blurted out, no, I'm just like, it's just me and Jesus right now. and that was so funny because like, I surprised myself in that moment because I didn't even think about it, but it was just like coming out and she was like looking at me and she was like, huh, okay, that's interesting. I never heard anyone saying that. And I was like, yeah, that's right though. and it was just something so funny. And it just like came into my head while you were sharing that, because I feel like almost in that moment, I mean, I don't know if it was me or if it was just like something coming through, because I was also obviously praying on that and all of those things. And I'm currently like so much in my personal space with the Lord that it makes so much sense that I'm at this stage. But it was like almost like, yeah, that's the state right now that we're in here. So that was funny. Yeah.
I love that so much. And what a great witness for the friend too, right? Like, yeah. I'm sure she'll be thinking about that. No, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I mean. Like for each individual, it might be a little bit different as far as whether God's giving you specific like instruction about that or laying something in your heart. Like maybe he doesn't want you to pursue this right now and he just wants you to focus on him. Like that's very possible. And that's where we have to be like walking close to the Lord, right? And like knowing what he wants us to do. But if you don't feel, you know, this burden that he's telling you not to pursue that, then I think we just have to look at priorities in our life. Like, first of all, am I seeking intimacy with Christ above everything? Like, am I spending time in his word and in prayer, you know? And one of the beautiful parts of being a single woman is you have more time to just sit in God's presence, right? And that's something that I'm also realizing being on the other side of that now. And something actually that I really grieved going into marriage is I knew that I was giving up the gift of being able to have that undistracted time with the Lord. And that I knew I was giving it up for another good gift. And of course, the gift that I wanted. But it did also make me sad. And I'm even like, I have some tears right now because it did change my ability to just spend my evenings only with the Lord, just he and I, you know, and just sitting in his presence. Now I have a wonderful relationship to tend to, but it is a relationship to tend to, you know, or like responsibilities as a wife and a homemaker to tend to. And I just don't have that time anymore to just no other pressing needs and, you know, people that I need to serve. I can just serve the Lord with my time. So I miss that. But if we need to make sure, I think as single ladies, first of all, that we're giving the Lord that, that time, that we're getting that intimacy with him and that we're fulfilling our job description. Right. And that is to be serving him with our free time as we can and using the gifts he's given us to try to win others to him. Right. Try to disciple others, serving him however he wants us to. But then I think we also should make it a priority if we desire marriage and if he hasn't laid it on our hearts to not pursue that right now, then we should make it a priority to pursue that. Right. Because there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good gift. And as long as we have it in the right, like, structure in our hearts and we're not looking for it for the wrong reasons, we can pursue that. And so I definitely encourage ladies to put yourself out there, right? Like if you want to get married, you're going to have to meet someone first, right? So like, how can we do this? And I just know there's a lot of ladies that maybe they're a little more introverted or, you know, it's hard work, honestly, to put yourself out there. It's hard work. Oop, I lost my earbud. I don't think that was working anyway, though. So we're just gonna leave it
off. No, I think I hear you the same way, even without.
Okay. I think only this one's working. Anyway, so yeah, we gotta like brainstorm and find different ways that we can be meeting good men, right? And I don't mean like pursuing men. That's not what I mean at all. But just being in a place where they can pursue us. Like if they never meet us, we don't know any good guys, how are we going to be pursued by a good guy, right? And so I think that online you know, Christian dating apps can be an avenue for that. It can also be frustrating. I'm well aware of that, but it is a way to meet men, right?
Yeah.
Visiting different like church functions, conferences, like there's all kinds of ways that we can be putting ourselves out there. And then also just praying that God would bring opportunities and bring good guys across our path, right? Like he can bring us several different options. And I used to pray that way. I would have like a running list of guys that I knew, maybe not super well, but I just knew that they were good guys, right? But maybe they didn't live near me or didn't go to my church or whatever. And I would just pray specifically like, Lord, I know this is a good guy. I feel like we have some things in common. Will you please just give us an opportunity to get to know each other somehow? Like maybe cause him to reach out to me or cause our paths to cross or something. And honestly, every single one of those, in different ways, the Lord allowed us to like either get to know each other or God just made it clear, okay, this is not a good option for you. Right. And yeah, so he let me get to know different options. And I learned a lot through that. I learned more of like what type of guy I would want to be with. Honestly, at times I came to appreciate my singleness even more through that. Because it was like, I'd rather be single with the Lord than with you. But I think we underestimate the power of prayer and God's ability to just bring those guys across our path and bring opportunities across our path, right? Yeah, so I definitely encourage that.
I think there's something so good in what you were saying in terms of also learning through experiences, right? Because how would we know when we've never been friends with guys or never been in sort of relationships or even like just like dating, not even like anything defined yet, how would we know whom we potentially like and what we potentially appreciate if we've never experienced that? I think that can be so helpful. I mean, yeah, of course there are people, they meet their first person and it's like, it is a fit from the beginning and they get married and they have a beautiful life together. And that's beautiful. But I think for a lot of us, it is truly important to get to know ourselves in those situations. And also, I think what honesty has been like such a journey for me as well as to understand that I was growing up with this certain idea of like who I have to be with or who I'm supposed to be with in terms of like looks and like what the person is doing, not necessarily, but kind of. Yeah. So like job wise, like career wise, etc. And just understanding from the experiences that I'm having in the last couple of months that I'm just realizing how little that actually matters. Obviously, there has to be a certain attraction that needs to be present, but then it's so much more about how does this person make me feel? Who's this person to me? How is this person caring about me? Are they portraying all those gifts and those traits really that I can see the Lord working in them? And I think that is so much more important. And I think I wouldn't have known that if I would not experience it. And something that I struggled with because I was thinking, okay, can I be in friendships that are very close, like even with guys that could potentially, I mean, look like a face before one would go into dating? Can I do that? Or would that be like crossing a sort of boundary? But I kind of have come to that conclusion that it's actually really important to have those experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be different for everyone as well to see like how close they can be with a guy friend and like where they would need to set some sort of boundaries. I think that's always important. But I've just seen for myself that the most important part in everything is communication, so that both sides can be informed where they're at and like what they're looking for, or communicating about, okay, this is really just friendship. And I think being clear about those things is so important. I'm wondering what, I don't know if you have thoughts on that or what your experience with that was, but again, since I'm so new in this, I'm always wondering, would you say like a guy should definitely at some point define and be like, hey, now I want to really date you or court you because like we've been friends for a while now? Would that be something that you think like that would probably be like quite good if that happens? Because I feel like I don't want to say normal world, but it's usually like, I don't know, it feels like it's either it's not talked about or it's like right from the start, either you're dating or you're not. And it's like, it's either pretty clear or you just go along with anything and you don't define anything. And then you're even already like intimate and you don't know where you're at. And I mean, that's obviously not so good. So yeah. I mean, it doesn't guard your heart at all. It just brings in so much suffering. But so I'm just wondering, yeah. maybe also for the guys listening, I mean, yeah, we are women, so it's only our perspective, but what would you think, like, or what have you experienced and how would you think it helped you to just either have like that clarity or not having it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is very important, yes, for there to be clarity around, is this something where we are pursuing possible marriage in the future, yeah. or are we just friends? Yeah, because at least for me, like, I wasn't looking to have a bunch of just guy friends, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to find a husband. And so I even had a situation where it was actually one of the guys I had been asking the Lord for like opportunities to get to know him. He starts messaging me through Facebook randomly, or not so randomly, right? and so we would be having these conversations like all day long, you know, like long conversations, texting back and forth. And that's just not something that I, for myself, I had boundaries. Like, I don't do that with someone that I'm just friends with, a guy that mm-hmm. I'm just friends with, right? Like, sure, maybe we'll text every once in a while about we're getting together as a group here or something, but I don't like message and like have these long conversations with guys that I'm not potentially interested in. And he was just still like talking, you know, and texting me so much without ever defining whether he saw this maybe turning into a relationship, maybe he saw potential here. Like, I had no idea where he was at. And so eventually it came to a point where I did have to ask him. Yeah. And I just shared with him like, hey, you know, I really enjoy talking to you. You're a great guy. I just want to let you know, I don't just have like these, you know, all day texting conversations with guys that I don't see as a potential for maybe exploring a relationship with, right? And so I was just wondering, do you see any potential here? Because if not, I probably don't want to message, you know, as much. And that was like a huge wake up call for him, I guess. Maybe he had a little bit different perspective of it, and people do, and that's fine. But that was what kind of opened up his eyes to, oh, actually, I do see you as a potential, and I need to make some decisions here. Like, am I going to actually pursue this as maybe we'll be in a relationship? And so we ended up talking a little more, and he came and visited, and it didn't end up working out. But I didn't have like this just friend guy that I'm just wondering about for like a year,
yeah.
whether this could work out or not. You know, that would have just been a real waste of time, I think, because yeah. I'm not going to keep that close guy friendship once I get married, right? Like, that's my only close guy friendship once you get married. And I feel like that's maybe another topic in itself as to whether we should have like close guy friendships. But yeah. All of that to say, I think it is really important to have a define the relationship sort of talk at some point. You know, there can be that period where you're just getting to know each other as friends, because I feel like guys can also feel pressured, like, especially in the Christian world, and if they grew up Christian especially, I think guys can maybe get a little bit overly cautious because they feel like even to just talk to a girl, it's coming across as, oh, yeah. I want to pursue you, you know? And yeah. I've heard some interesting stories where girls, well, they were just, a guy will just like ask a girl out for coffee, like for the first time, not asking for a relationship or anything. His idea is just, I just want to get to know you better as a friend to see if this could turn into a relationship. Like, let's go to coffee. And she all of a sudden is like, well, what are your intentions? You know, like, I need to know, like, if you're interested in me for marriage. Like, that's maybe a little bit much.
That's maybe, like, just a little bit ahead of yourself.
Exactly. So I feel yeah. like there does have to be a balance, right? Like, the guy has to get to know you a little bit to know if he even wants to pursue a relationship
yeah,
with you
yeah,
first.
Yeah, of course.
But if he's treating you like a girlfriend and he hasn't asked for that and he hasn't defined the relationship and he hasn't made it clear he's pursuing you, then no, that's not a good thing, right? And so at some point it has to transition from like friendship to either, okay, this didn't work out, we need to scale this back, or this is working out, we need to now pursue this as a relationship.
Yeah, that, I mean, it is so real for sure. As soon as you are in marriage and you have found your person, your friendships in general, they change. I mean, not necessarily your female friendships, they can be as close as ever, but even that dynamic changes a little bit because you have, again, you have like another person to like engage with, and then that's just so natural. But yeah, definitely. If you have like close guy friends, those relationships will change and they will differ to what they've been before because it's just how it naturally works and unfolds. And also obviously what is respectful, I do believe, to your husband. Like, I mean, I wouldn't want to have, like, just being honest, I wouldn't want to have a husband who's like constantly texting like the whole day with other girls, right? And I would be like, well, don't you just want to have them instead of me then? Because that would just not be, I don't think that would be the right thing. And that's just how it is. And I think that is definitely something that we can already take into account when we're in that season of singleness, of navigating friendships, relationships, etc. But then still like being open to everything and everyone as long as it serves us in a certain way, right? And as long as we can serve that person as well, and as long as we're clear on where we're standing, I think that is so important. So do you feel like as a woman, and maybe you can also just talk from personal experience here, do you have a certain like duty of like doing this like new age hanky drop of being like, okay, I'm also interested, you know? Or like, because I feel like, especially because you said as well, and I so believe that, I mean, also guys, like depending on the guy, this person can be shy. Like all of us, we have like different personalities and like different traits, and or you could have had experiences before where you maybe have like asserted yourself being like, hey, I'm interested, and then you got rejected, and so you can have like a certain wounding there. And so I don't know, I guess as girls we do have like certain, probably like a certain thing that we should do. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or something that you've experienced, or just being like very clear in your communication. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it just really depends on the situation, but I think all of us, you know, I think a lot of these problems of like, should I drop the hanky or whatever or not, would be solved if us Christian girls would just practice hospitality. We're all supposed to be practicing hospitality, right? And that doesn't just have to look like having somebody over into your house. I think that looks like making whoever you're with at the time. So if you're at church, you know, talking after church, whatever, just making the people around you feel comfortable, feel heard, feel seen, feel appreciated, encouraged, thinking about them and how you can encourage them rather than how you are feeling in the moment, right? Yeah. And that requires us to be really open. And by open, I don't mean like sharing all the deep, dark secrets of our soul or anything. I mean like, our vibe, if you will, needs to be open and friendly and like approachable. Yeah. And so I think if we would kind of change our perspective to like, I want to be open and friendly and hospitable to everyone, guys, girls, guys I'm interested in, guys I'm not interested in, just meet everyone with the same friendly energy, then I think that some of these problems would be solved because we would have more opportunities to talk to guys. They would feel more comfortable with us. We would learn about each other, like how we interact. And I think guys would be able to better tell, like, is she just being friendly or is she being a little bit more friendly, right? But if we like never talk to them or whatever, and we're just not super open and friendly, then it's super awkward to be like, well, I never talk to these guys. How do I let this one know that I'm interested without looking like I'm pursuing him, you know? So I think in general, we all just need to work on being more friendly, more hospitable. But I think there are times where, the guy's like, I don't want to come across creepy. I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable. She's super friendly already, so I don't know if this is like, if she's interested or not. And we can just subtly drop some hints. And by that, I mostly mean like body language hints. things where you don't actually have to say it, but it's like you're really showing him attention, right? Like if we're showing all these guys a certain amount of friendliness and hospitality, if we just step it up a little notch with the one that we're interested in and we just show like extra interest in him and, you know, try to have those conversations, like make it a point to look at him and give eye contact, you know, I think those subtle body language things can really be like dropping the hanky in that situation. But also, let's say there's a guy online or a guy you're just texting. I think that you can say something as well that just invites him to pursue, not us pursuing, but like invites that. And so that might look like saying something like, hey, I would not be mad if you wanted to go to coffee sometime, or if you asked me to coffee sometime, you know, like just kind of opening that invitation of, I do see you as like romantic potential. Not sure if you knew that. So just letting you know, I'd be open to that if you wanted to. I would not be mad. And just kind of making it cute and flirty and like no pressure. So that's something you can keep in like your toolbox. I wouldn't pull that out all the time, right? But it's something that's there. You can kind of drop some hints like that. But in general, I think that the more like we're giving them eye contacts, the more we're showing interest, the more we're appreciating and complimenting and being just open and friendly, the more that they will get the idea.
You know, it's so great actually, because what you just said with like the community aspect of just being hospitable, is that a word? Yeah.
Hospitable. Yes.
Hospitable. Yes. Of being hospitable. That word, that's what I meant. That just, again, what we said right at the beginning, it again serves, and I said that just now, but it serves your community as well. So again, being like inviting people or being very approachable and open and communicating well and being kind and nice and all of those things, it doesn't only serve us on our path of, yeah, just being with our husband, if that's in our lane, it also helps us to live, again, a fruit-bearing life, right? So it just creates so much beauty in our life once again. And so I think that again is like that one thing that serves us and that we can pursue and like practice in terms of what we talked about before. We don't even have to prepare anything else. We can just literally be ourselves and grow as that person in our community. And naturally we'll have more, like you said, we'll have more opportunities. We'll talk to more people and we'll maybe gain a bunch of new girlfriends as well. And then we'll maybe hang out with a couple of guys and get to know them and see, what we like, what we don't like. And maybe in all of that, we'll actually find the person that we are supposed to be with. And I think, so that is just, it is only helpful. There is like nothing that basically is not good in that. So I think that is just so important. Nothing can go wrong with that either. And it's also so beautiful how you said in that we already obviously also created a certain, we can create a certain confidence around ourselves as well in that, and then have the ability to, just show this like tick more of like interest or just this bit more of, okay, hey, I do seem to like you back. So it's just like hinting at that. And I think that makes it so beautiful and so, approachable really. And then we don't even have to go through the day to day being like, okay, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Because it's like we're living our lives in that moment and we have great community. We build great relationships. And if he's supposed to be there, then he'll just emerge from that, which I think is so beautiful and so helpful, because it just like also again takes away all of that stress and that attachment to something that we are not supposed to control in that way. And like you said, though, if you feel like you're in that season and you're really ready to find and meet your person, put yourself out there. Why not? Like you can do that. Yeah. As long as you don't feel like you're really like running after people, which I always feel like gives you like a weird energy, you're fine. And so, thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. so true. I think the other thing that it's a safeguard from when we just come to like the social situations or church or whatever with the mindset of like, how can I serve these people? How can I make them feel encouraged, right? It kind of safeguards against this trap we can sometimes fall into of just constantly looking at every guy as, is he the one? Is he the one? Is he the one?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
just like way overthinking it and obsessing about it. Because then we tend to, or at least I've seen this a lot of times, where girls will be like really friendly to the one they think might be the one, and they totally ignore everyone else, guy, girl, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just super obvious that that's all you're after. You only care about you and finding what you want. You don't actually care about like encouraging those you're around. And it's just really cringy and just not Christ-like, right? So
yeah. And you actually might miss your person because you're so focused on the person that you think you're supposed to be with. Yeah.
Yeah. And so focused on really on you, like what you want and you can get out of this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Which is never a good approach at all.
Never a good approach. No.
No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a, yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for all that goodness. Yeah, we are almost close to the end. There's one more question that I ask everyone on here, and it always opens the space for, yeah, if there's something that we didn't talk about yet, or yeah, is there one thing that you wish more humans would know about and that touches you deeply?
I love this question. Yeah, when I was thinking and praying about it, the verse that came to mind, especially since this podcast episode is really geared toward, you know, our single sisters in Christ, there was a verse that came to mind that I wanted to share. It's in Romans 14:12. It says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." And I think that especially as single ladies, it can feel like, I don't know, we can get so caught up in like what we desire that we forget that our life is fleeting, right? It's, the Bible calls it a vapor that vanishes away. And it's like a blade of grass with the flower just like blowing away in an instant, right? It's just so short. And if you can zoom out and like view your life from like 10,000 feet up, right? And just see it like beginning to end in the context of eternity, right? That just goes on forever in either direction. Our life is so short. And I think that that's what I want to leave them with is the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, soon they that have wives will be as they that had none. So soon it's not going to matter at all whether you got married or not. What's going to matter is when you're standing before God and you're giving account of your life, it's going to matter how you used it for him, right? It's going to matter how you used the gift he gave you. Nothing else is going to be important to you at that point, right? And so I think we have to get up each day and see our lives in the light of eternity and like almost picture ourselves standing before God, picture ourselves at the end of our life and looking back and seeing, how did we use this for God? And did we waste our time, you know? Yeah. And some questions that I would ask myself, especially as a single woman, was if I am someday an 80-year-old, never married lady, and I'm looking back over my life, am I going to have regrets about how I spent that? Will I have just wasted time pining for what never came, right? Or did I just plug into where God had me 100% and just embraced it, accepted it, and just lived for him in that as much as I could? And that's all that's going to matter in the end, right? Is what we did for the Lord. And I do want to clarify also, I don't mean that we're doing this to earn salvation or earn God's favor or anything like that, right? We cannot earn God's grace and God's favor. It's given to us as a gift. But the Bible does say that we get to lay up treasure in heaven and we get to earn rewards, right? This life, God gives us opportunities to do things for him and earn rewards that he will give us one day in heaven. And so just thinking about our lives in that perspective of like, what's going to matter in the end? What's going to matter when I'm standing before God? What treasure am I laying up in heaven? And how can I use what he's given me right now to do that? It helps, I think, to put everything in the right perspective. And it's something I'm still working on. I go through seasons where I'm doing better and doing worse at that. I think we all do. But we all just have to keep coming back to that. Like, that's what matters. Yeah, there's a poem. I'm trying to remember it. I don't remember it. I might have to like send it to you later. But basically,
Yeah.
it's saying that the only thing that's going to count in the end is what we did for Christ. Only what's done for Christ shall last.
Yeah.
And so that's the goal. That's the vision, and that's what I would leave with the single ladies listening.
That's so good. That's so good. I feel like also just when you look back on your life or when you have this like bird's eye perspective on it, like truly putting it down to that core of would I have wanted to literally sit there every day like waiting or wasting, or would I want to be here and just like bring goodness into this world and no matter what the outcome is really. And I mean, yes, we have that glory of God. We have his reward. We have his word and we have him and our relationship to him. But even our little effort to bring goodness to this world, isn't that something that can be enough to pursue that really? So
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
that is so important and so beautiful. Yeah, because we don't know how our time is built up, what season is going to last for a long time, what season is going to last for a short time, what season we are granted or which one we aren't. So I think, yeah, this is so much goodness. And I love that you shared this with us as like one of the final words. I think that's just like is like so well-rounded now. So I
Oh,
love this. Thank you so
yeah.
much. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
I think I think what I find in my ministry is that single ladies who are really struggling with their singleness, first of all, a lot of times they're not pursuing the intimacy with the Lord, right? Bible reading is just like I read it to check it off the list, you know, and they're
Yeah.
not really like pursuing the heart of God with their whole heart. But then the other part of it is they're not using the skills or the gifts or the talents that God's given them to serve him. And they're
Yeah.
not trying to like win souls. And so if we would just do those two things, really, whether single or married, we would all be so much happier. We would have that
Yeah.
abiding joy and purpose in our lives. And so it's really so important. I remember the poem, "Only
Yeah.
one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last." If you just think I have this one life, it's so short. Only what I do for Christ is going to last. I think that can be
Yeah.
our motto.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. And it's so nice that you remembered. So
I
you
know.
have it. You
Like,
have it in here.
why
That's
hasn't this
perfect.
happened?
No, but I honestly, I so get it. That happens to me all the time. I often have to like paraphrase things because I just seem to forget the exact wording, which we
Yeah.
have to definitely improve on. And yeah, the very last thing, so that if someone, well, not if, because I'm sure the people listening, everyone will have enjoyed this episode so much. So when the people want to find you, where can they find you? And yeah, so you can
Yeah,
share all of
okay,
that.
sure. Yeah, so we do a lot, or I do a lot over on Instagram at Dear Single Woman, and there's an underscore underneath each of, or in between each of those words. So Dear underscore Single underscore Woman. And then I do also have a blog and a website, www.dearsinglewoman.org. And then I also just recently released a book. And in it, we go much deeper into pretty much every topic that we covered today on this
Yeah.
podcast and a lot more. And really, the goal of it was to encourage single ladies, first of all, to find that surrender and that contentment where they are, but also then to know some ways that they can pursue marriage from a, you know, a godly way. And really, how to like pray effectively for that husband and
Yeah.
that desire of your heart. And so, every single chapter has different like prayer prompts to help you just pray over that desire, pray about how God would have you to pursue it, pray about what He'd have you to do with your singleness, just all the things we talked about. And I think that would be a big blessing to any ladies listening. So, that's where you can find
Amazing.
me.
Yeah, I will link all of that. And
And
that,
I
oh
do
yeah.
have, sorry, I just
All
realized
good.
I have a discount code too for your followers. If they
That's
want to get
amazing.
the ebook version, if they use the code Karina10, all
Yeah.
caps, Karina10, they can get 10% off of the ebook version.
Perfect. I'll also note that so that everyone can access that if they desire. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. I don't know if you want to, but maybe you want to end us with a little prayer as well, maybe for the single ladies. I don't know if you want to just like do that very spontaneously. I haven't asked you before, sure. But it just came to me and I thought that would be so beautiful to end this on that note.
I would love to. Yeah. Yes, let's pray. All right. Lord, thank you so much for this conversation that Karina and I were able to have today and for just meeting with us, Lord. I feel like you were guiding this conversation and I pray that it would be a huge blessing to anyone that listens and that they would get from it what you want them to get from it. And I do just lift up every unmarried lady that might be listening, Lord, that you would help her to delight herself in you and to find all of the desires of her heart just met in the person of Christ, Lord, met in that relationship with you, and that she would just have the most abundant joy and peace and satisfaction in you alone. And I do also lift up her desire for marriage, that you would bless her with a godly husband, give her wisdom as she's navigating all of these getting to know guys situations and dating and all of that, and just let your perfect will be done in her life and give her your best for her. And I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's so beautiful. I feel lifted up as well. So that's good.
I do too. This is such a blessing. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. It was a blessing to have you on.